There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get ready for today's episode of Benched with Bubba, let me talk to you about Draft. Draft.com, Draft in your app store, is a great way to play fantasy sports. And right now, they have NFL best balls going and going strong. Go check it out. It's a great way to play. You draft. You don't worry about it. They take your best scores each week. It's a ton of fun. Use promo code SDSports when you check out, and you'll get entry into a free $3 best ball tournament. So go check it out. Draft in your app store, draft.com, promo code SDSports when you check out, and enjoy a great, fun way to play fantasy sports. Now to this week's edition of Benched with Bubba. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bench with Bubba, episode 111. Going to be talking some fantasy football quarterbacks, and in order to do so, I have one of the members of the 2QBs.com, good guy, good friend. You can find him on Twitter at Greg Sauce. Greg Smith, how are we doing, man?
Good, Bubba, man. Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
Yep, going to be a lot of fun, and I mentioned the website already, but before we get everything cracking, why don't you let everybody know what you got going on over there and your draft guide and all that good stuff.
Yeah, come over to 2QBs.com. You spelled out all letters, T-W-O-Q-B-S, 2QBs.com. We have a draft guide that's dedicated to two quarterback and super flex formats. So if you're like me, if you're like Bubba, if you are ready to, you know, embrace the volume of like really good passers that we have in the NFL, you know, you should be playing in a two quarterback league instead of a one quarterback league. And that's what we're trying to cater to, are the people who are kind of on the cutting edge of fantasy and really like where the format is going in general. Like sooner or later, I do think this is going to become the standard way to play just because there are so many good quarterbacks. But yeah, the draft guide's awesome. 220 plus pages, analysis of all sorts of different quarterbacks from a lot of different angles. We have a super flex mock draft in there with a bunch of heavy hitters from around the industry. So come check that out. I've got a podcast over on 2QBs called The 2QB Experience, and I'm about to launch a new series next week, starting on Monday the 6th with, I'm calling them two a days, where each episode I'm going to have two different analysts who are somewhat related, either like through writing for the same site or for some other reason. And they're going to kind of each give their own take on the quarterback position. And so my goal there is to kind of show, you know, across the industry, what people are doing with their quarterbacks in one quarterback leagues and in two quarterback leagues. So come check that out. But yeah, follow me on Greg Sauce at Greg Sauce on Twitter, 2QBs.com, all letters. And that's it, man. Let's dive in.
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to go over some of the top QBs, some rookies, new faces and new places, and many more. I think we'll hit majority of them one way or another by the time we're all said and done. If you have any questions, again, go to 2QBs with everything you need. Let's start with we'll go off a Fantasy Pros ADP, and we'll kind of go over the top five guys at the moment on consensus ADP rankings. We'll start with the guy many consider the top quarterback, and it's really It's him, and then it comes after him. It's Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. Not really any shocker here. Anything that might surprise people with the thought of him going number one quarterback-wise?
I mean, I don't think so. I think it's pretty cut and dry. Kind of no matter how you slice it, you know, if you look at the past 2 years, the past 3 years, the past 4 years, whatever, Rodgers is the most efficient quarterback in the league. And as long as he's healthy, which I'll admit is a concern sometimes, like as long as he's playing, he's the top guy. And with that said, I'm probably not paying up for him in most leagues, even in two quarterback formats where, you know, he carries more value because there's more demand for the position. But that's just not my style. I don't pay up for QB. But if I were to pay up for a guy at the top of the list, it's got to be Aaron Rodgers for sure.
Just for fun speculation, because you don't pay up for quarterbacks. I don't pay up for quarterbacks. It's kind of a thing. It seems it used to be like no one ever would, and guys are starting to become a little more willing to do it. Right now he's going 26th overall, so say in a 12-team league, that's early third. Where would he have to fall for you to take him?
I think if he made it to like the fifth or sixth round, I would at least start thinking about it. I mean, really what you're looking for is the drop-off in talent at running back and wide receiver. And once, you know, you start to lose that, then you can start to talk yourself into either a quarterback or a tight end. But ultimately, I still probably wouldn't pull the trigger, because if Aaron Rodgers is lasting that long, that means that Tom Brady is lasting that long, Russell Wilson is, like, and those guys are all really good too. So you really don't have to be the first person ever to draft a QB in your league. It's just not really worth it, because at whatever price point you're talking about, there's going to be a comparable quarterback. And I just, you know, spent however many minutes saying there's nobody comparable to Aaron Rodgers because he's the clear number one, but he's close enough to Brady and Wilson and Newton, Breeze, and maybe you can make the argument for like Watson or Wentz if you wanted to. Like, the point is that the position is super deep, and you shouldn't feel the pressure to be the first guy to take one. And that's why even when Rodgers slides, it's still probably not worth it.
Yeah, and that's something I think people will get by the end of this episode, is it's an extremely deep position with a lot of similarities and a lot of, I guess, quote unquote, comfortable picks throughout all of the quarterback position. Let's talk about the second quarterback currently on Fantasy Pros ADP. And this one gets my head scratching quite a bit. It's Deshaun Watson. And yes, he was really, really good. But, you know, the ACL injury makes you kind of question mobility. I'd imagine he's going to be fine, but not to the same extent. And, you know, Hopkins can only do so much. What's your thoughts on Deshaun being number two?
Yeah, I'm out on Watson at his price. There are some shades of Robert Griffin III here, kind of the rookie year that he put together, like potential fear of that kind of reoccurring. I don't think that's going to happen, but ultimately we can look at Watson's performance from last year and know that it was unsustainable. He had a 9.3% touchdown rate in 2017. That's like on the level of Peyton Manning in 2013, which, you know, we don't see that stuff repeated from year to year. And meanwhile, on top of that crazy touchdown rate, he still had a really bad interception rate, 3.9%, ranked 33rd among passers with at least 200 attempts, which was third worst in the league, only better than Deshaun Kizer and Trevor Siemian. So in terms of turning the ball over, he has a lot to work on. It's really important to remember just how much of a surprise he was last year, despite how good he was. Like, the coaching staff actively chose Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson to start the season. And to me, that suggests that Watson didn't really appear ready to that point. Now, he proved the coaches wrong for sure, but only across a very small sample of games. I think that, you know, while Watson has had some time to become better acclimated to the NFL, other NFL teams have now had time to, like, get film on him and acclimate to his game. And just in general, like, young quarterbacks, especially mistake-prone ones, tend to be really volatile. It's going to be a roller coaster ride with him, I think. And I just can't justify drafting such a risky guy in the early rounds when, like we've already talked about, there's so many other proven guys available a little bit later, and even a lot later too, you know?
Yeah, and you mentioned the part on the film, and I agree that's going to really change things up. You know, it just takes a little bit of extra knowledge for some of these defensive coordinators to do some damage. And the other part is, I've talked about it elsewhere before, is we have to remember that he did a lot of his good fantasy work coming from behind or in shootout games. And, you know, now his defense should be locked in with Watt coming back and their solid secondary. So it's a lot to think about when you're talking about Deshaun Watson. Could he do it again? Sure. He's kind of that, you know, if you're playing DFS, he's a GPP play all the time because he's got that tremendous upside. But when you're talking season-long fantasy, like you mentioned, you know, you got so many guys right behind him that you could easily take and feel a lot better about, and maybe in the long haul have a lot more success.
Yeah, it's fair to be excited about him and the player that he is. I'm just not excited about the price. That's my only issue.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's talk the GOAT, as some will call him. I'm not a huge fan. As a Dolphins fan, which sucks because I get to see him just have fun with us twice a year. But it was his birthday today, and his name is Tom Brady, for those that don't know. And he is very, very good still, and he's going third overall. What's your thoughts on Brady?
Yeah, I kind of have the same thoughts on Brady as I do on Rodgers. Like, we know that he's really good. There's not a whole lot to say about him. I am curious to see what happens with him in the early weeks with kind of the receiver troubles that they appear to be having. Like, they just signed Eric Decker, which is interesting. We don't know how much Decker has left, but he's coming in theory to replace Jordan Matthews, who went on IR. There are some questions about the weapons there, but that's kind of always the case with Brady, and he figures it out. Like, that system is so good, that coaching staff is so good, that you kind of trust him just to deliver high-end fantasy numbers. And one thing above all else with the Patriots is you know that they're going to be kind of on the cutting edge of offense, which means passing the ball. And so you don't have to worry about Brady's volume like maybe you would with, you know, Watson, with that good defense, with some other QBs as well. I think Brady's fine. I mean, not fine. He's more than fine. He's really, really good. But again, I'm not really looking to draft quarterbacks in this range.
Yeah, the thing with Brady, it's always great. Like you mentioned, he can make an Eric Decker actually, you know, have another year or two of his career worthwhile because he just makes everything so efficient. And if the wide receivers aren't working, he makes Rex Burkhead or someone like that look great. So no matter what, like you said, they're on the cutting edge of offense, which means throwing the ball. He's going to be throwing it all over the place. And they don't care if they blow a team out. They will run the score up. He's one of the more – you don't want to use safe in fantasy. I hate using safe. Him and Rodgers are pretty darn safe if you want to go that direction.
Yeah, maybe not safe, but consistent and reliable when they're playing. Yes. Yeah,
much better terminology there. Let's talk Russell Wilson. I think this guy is an amazing quarterback. If he only had an O-line and some more consistent receivers, he could really be something here. And their defense is going to take a complete fall this year as the Legion of Boom is no more. So what's your thoughts on Russell Wilson, who has now possibly lost a receiver, a very important one?
Yeah, that point you make about the defense is a really good one. Their defense probably isn't going to be that amazing, you know, relative to, you know, the expectations that we'd had for them in previous seasons. And at the very least, that should keep Wilson throwing and scrambling to some extent based upon what's going on with his offensive line too. But that offensive line should be better. And it seems like through the moves that they've made in the offseason that they do want to run the ball more. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out. Like, I think Wilson's a tougher evaluation than someone like Brady or Rodgers. Like, I still think Wilson is going to be really good. And he's been super consistent over the past 4 years. He averages He averages 12 top 20 finishes per year, which is tied with Cam Newton for the most in the NFL over the past four seasons. So, I mean, that consistency is there. The rushing that he provides is what gives him that sort of floor in terms of top 20 finishes. But there are some question marks, and I don't know. I'm a little concerned for sure. How about you? Like, are you willing to draft him considering everything that's going on there in Seattle?
If I was taking an early QB, this is kind of like where my quote-unquote tier one slowly comes in. There's, you know, another guy I'm big on is Breeze. He'd probably kind of sneak up there as well. But Wilson, it's like I really, really liked him, but Baldwin is a – that really makes me take a step back and look at things because I know this could just be, hey, he's getting older. We don't want to risk anything. Baldwin doesn't need to practice. They have a rapport. He could step out there week one, and they're really not too concerned about it. At the same time, if he is really hurt, he's already got a knee injury now that could linger all year, and you lose Baldwin for a long period of time of the season because maybe he re-aggravates it. We've talked about that receiving core, and it's nothing. It's not great at all. So it is much more concerning, yes, in a roundabout way, yes. It's much more concerning.
If Baldwin is hurt, let's say he ends up going on the PUP or something, like which receiver are you looking at there? Because I think it's not an easy choice. Like Lockett is probably the default answer, but do you really expect him to kind of sustain like a number one receiver role? I'm not sure I do. Like I think it's probably going to have to be somebody else. I mean, we're talking about Amara Darbo, Jerron Brown, Brandon Marshall. I mean, the tight ends there, Ed Dixon, Nick Vinette. Like there isn't a whole lot to get excited about, but if Baldwin's out, one of those guys has to step up. Who do you think it is?
That's the thing is someone has to step up. And you, like you said, the easy answer for many would be Tyler Lockett. And I like Tyler Lockett a lot more when Baldwin was on the field because it opened it up. I love Tyler Lockett as a later round option. You know, honestly, Brandon Marshall, he's got the big body, but he's not going to be that guy to get you from 20 to 20. But inside the 20 might be much more active. The guy that could be interesting if he starts to get a rapport with with Wilson could be like a Jaron Brown, a Jaron Brown, who we actually saw glimpses of something in Arizona from time to time. So that could be really interesting to me. But, man, you look at their depth chart right now. They have like a list of 12 receivers in the third receiver section. Like it is so wide open, and you don't know how this is going to pan out. It's bad. It could – Ed Dixon, you never know. He could turn into a slot type tight end guy, which would be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the other answer might just be one of the running backs. Like, we know they drafted Rashard Penny, and they're talking up Chris Carson a lot. Like, maybe they run more of the offense through those guys, or even maybe CJ Procise is like a fantasy zombie kind of rising from the dead. Man, yeah, it's a really fascinating offense because the only constants in it were Baldwin and Russell Wilson, and now half of that equation is out of the window. It's a tough evaluation.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the more important storylines to watch in preseason, because right now a lot of it's everyone's in the best shape of their life and all that stuff. you gotta really take it like close, but this is one you can actually kind of pay attention to for a while here. And maybe what they do is they just simplify the game plan. They turn it into kind of a Patriot style. It's all quick hits and, you know, throwing four wide. We use our receivers. It could be any given guy in any given week kind of wild like that too. So. Mm-hmm. Let's talk the fifth fantasy quarterback according to Fantasy Pros ADP. It's similar to Deshaun Watson, another young, very talented player. In year two, ACL injury as well. He's looking, quote-unquote, good in training camp so far. But Carson Wentz, surprising to me, is going fifth off the board quarterback-wise. What's your thoughts on Wentz?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot like Watson, he's probably due for some regression. He had another otherworldly touchdown rate in 2017, 7.5%. He's not going to repeat that again this year. Like, just for context, like the average touchdown rate among passers with at least 200 attempts last season was 4.3%. I mean, even the QB1, Russell Wilson, only had a TD rate of 6.1%. So, yeah, Wentz is going to come back to the mean, or at least his own mean, in that category. But unlike Watson, he did have a larger sample size of games and better efficiency in terms of his interception rate and his adjusted net yards per attempt. So there's some optimism there. Like, if you look since 2010, only five second or third year quarterbacks have posted a TD rate above 6%. The first was Nick Foles in 2013. The other was Carson Wentz in 2017. Andrew Luck, 2014, Russell Wilson, 2013, Matthew Stafford, 2011. That's some pretty good company, right? Like, the comparison presents a pretty reasonable range of outcomes, I think, for Wentz. The problem is that he's being drafted like Russell Wilson when he should probably be drafted more like Matthew Stafford, like the low end of that range. But to be fair, like, he could outperform that for sure. It's just a matter of price. Once again, like, broken record alert. But, I'm out on Wentz where he's going. But I think that he could. He's probably a very good player, and we'll have to see how he comes back from that injury, because he built some of his game on mobility as well. Like, that's probably not as well documented as Watson, but if he can't move around quite as well, like, if that impacts his performance, that could be a pretty big, you know, drag on his fantasy production.
No, I agree. That's a big part of his game that people kind of overlook, I should say, is he did run the ball a lot there in Philadelphia. Especially around the goal line and, you know, third down conversion type deals. I do like Wentz quite a bit, and I think he'll be good this year, but he did just have an unworldly season last year. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all breaks down in Philadelphia, especially as they go on their title defense in Philly. Let's talk about a couple quarterbacks, new faces, new places type deal before we get into some rookies. Let's start off with Kirk Cousins. Had a, you know, the win-loss records, for those that care about him, didn't look great in Washington. But fantasy players, he produced time and time again, year after year. And similar to Wentz, he used his legs, like you're saying. Now, he goes to Minnesota. Most are saying much better weapons, and I tend to agree with this. But looks like a great spot there for Cousins. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, he's an interesting evaluation because last year's like efficiency metrics don't paint him in a super good light. Like in 2017, he was only 10th in yards per attempt. And as you kind of refine that to be more like going deeper into efficiency, like adjusted yards per attempt, 12th, adjusted net yards per attempt, 14th. But with that said, it's kind of hard to evaluate his 2017 season because so much went wrong with Washington's offensive line. That dip that we see in adjusted net yards per attempt is probably just directly tied to the number of sacks he took. He took 41 last year. For comparison, in 2016, he only took 23 sacks. In 2015, he only took 26. So, and that was when Washington's O-line was healthy, right? And in those seasons, his adjusted net yards per attempt numbers looked much better, over 7.14 in both years. And so if we look at, like, if we compare those Washington offensive lines to what he's going to have this year in Minnesota, Minnesota's O-line last year only allowed 27 sacks. They ranked sixth in Football Outsiders adjusted sack rate metric, 4.4%. So there's definitely some reason for optimism that Cousins could get back to that, like, hyper-efficiency that he saw with Washington 2 years ago and 3 years ago. My biggest concern with him is, you mentioned the rushing production that he's provided for fantasy. Like, he's scored 4 or 5 rushing TDs in each of the past 3 seasons. I think it's going to be interesting to see if he can continue that under the new coaching staff with the Vikings on a team that has, you know, more legitimate goal line backs, Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray. Washington never really had anybody that was that great in that department. So I think there's a really good chance that we see Cousins' rushing production scale back, even if his passing production, you know, takes a step forward from last year. I think that he's one of the more interesting guys, and I'd like him, but for whatever reason, other people seem to be valuing him just a little bit higher than I am. Like, I end up, like, missing out on him and taking, like, Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger instead in most of my drafts.
Yeah, and those names you just mentioned are guys I like because, A, where you can get them in drafts, and B, just that consistent nature. I love that the quarterback positions. Give me somebody consistent that I can trust. And I think Cousins is very good, but you mentioned a lot of important things there. He's in a new location, and you don't really know how that's all going to intertwine there. Yes, Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph, great targets. You know, Cook can catch it a bit out of the backfield, so can Latavius Murray. All the weapons are there, but it's just like, how are they going to scheme it? How are they going to do these things? And that's a very interesting question to break down. And then the last part about the running really is an interesting factor there, because Keenum ran when he had to, but Cook was also out. And Cook is a bruising back. So definitely something to think about there. I agree. Let's talk about his replacement. Oh, yeah. One more thing.
All right, I mean, I was going to say my other issue with him is just the fact that Minnesota's defense is probably going to be a lot better than Washington's defense. So he might not need to throw as much. And that's something else we need to keep in mind. Now, with that said, I think that's generally an overblown, like, way to analyze a quarterback. Like, typically, if a quarterback's defense is good, that just means more possessions for that quarterback, better field position for that quarterback. And so you might not get quite as many, passing yards week to week, but you're going to increase your scoring opportunities and all that stuff. So I think that's kind of it's too hard to evaluate a player based upon that alone. It is something to keep in mind, though, that perhaps maybe there'll be more positive game scripts for him where he'll be more inclined to hand it off than to keep chucking it.
Not just that, is Washington really never had that go-to back, it seems like, for a full season to give it to. So definitely something to look at there. Let's go to Washington. His replacement coming from Kansas City, Alex Smith, and boy, did he get paid to come play there in Washington. And Smith had a great year last year, definitely did some things. I'll let you throw the stats out there, but how are we looking at him in Washington this year?
Yeah, I mean, the big hurdle for him is just living up to those expectations he just set, right? Like, 2017 was kind of an outlier for Alex Smith. He led the league in interception rate, only 1%, led the league in adjusted yards per attempt, 8.6. He led the league in quarterback rating, 104.7. All of those finishes were career bests. He similarly set career highs in touchdown passes with 26, and he set a career high in passing yards by a wide margin, his total of 4,042 yards being 540 more than his previous high in 2016. On a per-game basis, Smith averaged almost 270 yards per game in 2017, which is well above the previous career mark he had of about 234 yards per game. And, you know, moving to Washington does represent a downgrade in receiving talent. With that said, the coach, Jay Gruden, has made a lot of lemonade with Washington's lemons in the past few seasons. You know, like, the weapons there haven't been that good, but Kirk Cousins was still successful. This is going to be a really interesting litmus test to kind of say, like, coach versus quarterback, what matters more? Like, was it Cousins that was propping those guys up, or was it Jay Gruden in his system? Generally, I tend to lean towards giving the players credit, but I do think Jay Gruden is a good coach. I do think his offense is good. So I think some optimism is warranted with Smith, but he's essentially been a league average passer just until last year. So you have to expect some sort of reversion towards him being that type of player again. He's a tough one. He's definitely, like, on brand for 2QBs. Like, we love Alex Smith at 2QBs.com, but and I like him. I've been drafting him a lot, but I'm still a little worried that he might, just because he's not going to live up to last year's expectations, people are going to call him a bust. It's just a matter of setting reasonable expectations, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned the part about Gruden. He's been really, really good and really successful with quarterbacks that, you know, when they show up to play for him, might not have had the success they'd had previously. So that's worked out really well. You're getting Alex Smith, 20th quarterback off the board, going about on pick 127. So 9th, 10th, 11th round, give or take your league size. And that's not horrible. And he's going well behind some of the guys that we've already mentioned. We'll talk more about later. But, you know, Josh Doctson is now hurt, which sucks. He's leaving, you know, Tyreek Hill and those weapons there with Kelsey. You don't know if Jordan Reed's going to be healthy. You basically got Jamison Crowder. They paid Paul Richardson a bunch of money. Chris Thompson's banged up. He's your receiving back. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out there.
Yeah, which receiver are you targeting out of that core? Because I've had a hard time kind of parsing through that. Like, I don't trust Jordan Reed to stay healthy ever again. Like, he's just one of those players for me now. So, yeah, who are you looking at in that receiving core to kind of be the workhorse?
I really like Jamison Crowder. I liked him before. I liked him last year with Cousins. You could get him a lot cheaper last year, and he's still not going that expensive right now. Like, you can get him at a pretty reasonable value. I think he's going to be very, very good. But if you want to go off the board, you know, it sounds cliche, but they paid Paul Richardson for a reason. They gave him like 5 years, $40 million. That's a big paycheck for a guy that was kind of an in-between, you know, second and third option in Seattle last year. So he got paid, and you'd imagine they're going to want to go that direction. But I do like Jamison Crowder. I know he's their number one. I think he's a really, really good receiver.
Yeah, Richardson's a tough one for me, because the camp reports on him haven't been good. And while I don't really subscribe to positive camp reports, negative ones kind of catch my eye a little bit more. And we can't forget the fact that he got to play with Russell Wilson last year, right? He's going to look a lot better because he's playing with an elite QB. Alex Smith is not Russell Wilson. I'm with you on Crowder. I think he's the guy to own. And if you end up in your draft starting really running back heavy, I think Crowder, especially in like a PPR format, is going to be a really nice guy in those middle rounds to kind of catch you back up at receiver. I like him a lot too.
Yeah, because if, you know, for those that know the younger Pierre Garçon and even the older one, he reminds me a lot of him, like a great possession type guy. He's not going to always streak down the field, but by the end of the game, he's going to have like 8 catches for like 70 yards, and in a PPR league, he's just going to be huge.
Yep, love it. So.
All right, last guy we're going to talk about, new face and new place, and it completes the circle of these three teams, is Case Keenum, leaving Minnesota, going to Denver. And right now he's going 26th off the board, 179. He had those great weapons in Minnesota last year. Goes to Denver, and people are hoping he rejuvenates a few weapons there. What's your thoughts on Case Keenum going to Denver?
Yeah, man, circle of life here with these quarterbacks. Are you going to, like, drop in the Lion King theme song underneath this as I talk?
I'm gonna hold one of them up.
Hold Case Keenum up over your head?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, Case Keenum is weird. Like, because I play so much two quarterback, I sometimes have a hard time disassociating, like, a surprisingly good season like Keenum's 2017 from an actually good season. He only scored 16.2 points per game through week 16 last year. That was 15th best among QBs. So he's kind of just a middle of the road guy, and his underlying stats point toward a lot more mediocrity than a true breakout. If you compare to other quarterbacks at his age, you know, 28 to 30 years old since 2010, Keenum compares best to like Jay Cutler, Jason Campbell, Kyle Orton, and Brian Hoyer. All of those guys had yards per attempt marks around 7.2, adjusted yards per attempt marks around 6.9 within that age range. So, I mean, that worries me, but I think Keenum's fine. His starting role is really likely safe, although, you know, sidebar, I really like Chad Kelly as a deep sleeper in two quarterback formats, just as a, you know, because the Denver Broncos did not pay up for a QB in the draft, that makes me think that they trust Kelly to at least be a competent backup, because we know Lynch isn't that guy.
Lynch is horrible.
but I mean, anyway, like, back to Keenum, we just can't go overboard with projecting more improvement from him after, you know, last year's semi-breakout. Like, we can, I think, expect more of the same in that, like, 14 to 17 points per game range. Like, he's, like, game manager gets thrown around too much. I don't think that's fair, like, because he was, like, an awesome college quarterback, like, broke all sorts of records in the collegiate ranks. So there's definitely like reason for optimism, but again, like, there are so many usable and good quarterbacks. I think that the Denver receivers are a little overrated. Like, I like Emmanuel Sanders. I like Demaryius Thomas, but Thomas especially is not the player he used to be. So, like, people who want to port Case Keenum saying like, oh, well, he had Diggs and Thielen, now he has Sanders and Thomas, he'll be fine. Like, I don't buy that quite as much. So I think he's okay, but he's still one of the lower tier starters that I'm looking at. Now, with that said, I'm still drafting him a ton. Like, I got him in Scott Fishbowl. Like, he's a guy that I'm okay with. I just temper your expectations. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, like in a super flex 2QB league, I think he's a really good like third quarterback to have around that you could throw in when you need him. What do you think? Do you like him as a second quarterback or more so as a third?
Yeah, I'd want him to be my QB3. I generally want to get all three of my quarterbacks from within like the top 25 or the top 26 at the position. And definitely I want my top two in that range. And preferably I want like my top two out of the top 20. And after that, like I'm more, depending upon how good those first two starters are, I might be more willing to dive deeper for my QB3. Because I tend to wait at the position, I end up getting guys who are more middle of the road in the first place. So I'm more likely to pay up more for my QB3. But with that said, it all kind of depends on the pace of how the quarterbacks get picked in your particular draft. And so there are plenty of 2QB drafts where, you know, it's time for me to draft my QB3 in case Keenum is the best guy available. So I take him. So yeah, I'm perfectly comfortable with him there, but I'd rather not have him as my QB2.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's talk about those rookie quarterbacks. It was a big year for rookies in the draft. 5 taken in the first round. You're doing all kinds of craziness to the draft. The number one pick, one Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma, goes to the Cleveland Browns, who were very, very active this offseason, defensively and more so offensively, getting all kinds of new weapons for him here. It is interesting when you look at their depth chart right now. They have Landry as the number one, nobody in the number two spot, and then like 12 guys in the third spot. So they can't figure out that one yet. But we're talking Baker Mayfield, and he's right now backing up Tyrod Taylor. What's your thoughts on Mayfield?
Yeah, this is a tough situation because, you know, all of the camp reports coming out of there is Hugh Jackson basically saying, like, Tyrod's a starter, Tyrod's a starter. How many times can I say it? Tyrod's a starter. Get used to it. But, you know, the track record of number one overall quarterback picks suggests that Baker Mayfield is going to start sooner rather than later. Quarterbacks who were picked first overall in the NFL draft typically don't ride the bench. Since 2008, those players have averaged 13.5 starts in year one. So, like, the track record says that Mayfield is going to get in there, and it's not going to take him very long. But, I mean, I like Tyrod Taylor, especially as a fantasy player. And because the reports out of camp are so glowing, like, that he's, like, doing all the right things, that he's managing the offense well, that he's mentoring Baker Mayfield, like, that sort of, like, I don't know, like, cachet or whatever you want to call it, like, that sort of social capital that he's building up, like, is probably going to matter. And so, while I maybe would have had Mayfield penciled in for like 13 starts a month ago, like now I might be more on the like 8 to 10 starts wagon. Like I think that that's how it's going to play out, but we don't really know. And with that in mind, like because the track record of first overall picks is so strong, I think Mayfield is actually a little undervalued in drafts, especially two quarterback. I mean, only in two quarterback, I should say, because that's the only place you really have to worry about drafting a player like that. But if you're in a 1QB league, I don't think you can take him. I think you have to assume that Tyrod Taylor is going to start the year as the number one QB. But, yeah, I mean, there's upside with Mayfield. It's a matter of when he gets on the field. That's it.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's, like you said, they took him number one for a reason. They want to bring him on sooner than later. I think after the first big losing streak, like 3 or 4 games, I think it's going to be Baker Mayfield time. But Tyrod's good enough to keep him with this new team in play. They could be very interesting. So, eventually, yes, it's going to be his club, and he's very accurate and a very good passer, so it'll be fun to watch him once he's there. But like all these guys we're going to talk about, we don't know when it's going to be. We think they're all going to play eventually, but it's a matter of if and when. So let's go to the New York Jets. Sam Darnold sitting there. He's their third-string quarterback at the moment. Got paid earlier this week, so he's now fully in camp, participating in drills and everything. He's behind Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. So what do we think about Sam Darnold? Because at USC, people really liked him. I wasn't that impressed with him in his last year in college.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same story as with Mayfield. Like, the draft capital has to matter to some extent. Bridgewater's only signed to a one-year deal. We know that Josh McCown is not the long-term answer. So it's a pretty safe bet that Darnold's going to become the starter there at some point. I gave that stat about QBs drafted first overall. Quarterbacks who are drafted in the top 10 since 2008 have started an average of 12.4 games in year one. So there's a good chance that Darnold's going to start 10-plus games. And with that in mind, he's probably got to be the first Jets QB you draft if you're going to draft a Jets QB. Now, with that said, like, I don't want to be that guy, right? Like, I don't want to be the guy who has to pay up for pay down. I mean, pay for a Jets quarterback at any point in my draft. So yeah, I think he's a good bet to start the majority of games, but it's not like they have great weapons. He's probably going to lose some time to McCown and or Bridgewater. Temper your expectations, but you know, at some point during the season, maybe you stream him, maybe you play him in DFS. Like, keep an eye on him. It's just a matter of time before he's the guy.
Yeah, Darnold's definitely a DFS option once he gets there, because Josh McCown was always cheap, and I loved him towards the end of last year. So the Jets somehow, if it's because it's garbage time or whatever it is, they come into play at DFS. That's definitely a good point with him. Let's talk about another top 10 pick in Josh Rosen going to the Buffalo Bills. This was one of the more polarizing selections in the first round, quarterback-wise, as many were not high on him, or you either loved him as one or the other. But he's there behind A.J. McCarron and good old Nathan Peterman, which is a great twosome to be behind. What's your thoughts on Josh Allen?
Yeah, I mean, despite being the most panned prospect among the rookie quarterbacks, I think Allen might be the best bet to start all 16 games for his team, just because McCarron and Peterman are, you know, not that good. I just don't think the Bills have very good options there. So Allen, because he's in theory the quarterback of the future, like they spent a draft pick and they traded up to make that draft pick, like the writing's on the wall that they want him to be the guy. It's just, we don't know if he can be that. Now, if you want to take an optimistic view of him, and you want to maybe think about how he would fit into that Bills offense in a good way, we can manufacture some optimism for him based on his skills. Like, there are a couple articles over at 2QBs.com last week, one by Chris Allen and one by Derek Klassen. They kind of, you know, look at potential avenues to usability for him. And one of the things that Derek Klassen specifically pointed out was Josh Allen's ability to potentially be used as a rusher. Like, he has a big frame. He's pretty athletic. We know he's not a very good passer, so maybe they'll use him on more designed runs, on more RPOs, run-pass options. And running is sneaky effective for fantasy QBs. So if you can, you know, find the right weeks where he's going to have that opportunity, you know, again, on a streaming basis in DFS, or, you know, maybe just when one of your two quarterback league guys is on bye, you have to plug somebody in, Allen could still be usable. But, I mean, I don't want to be the guy who has to figure that out, you know?
No, I'm with you there. I need to see some out of him. And most of these rookie guys, it's going to be DFS. That's a whole different game. Season-long wise, it's going to – I'll probably just sit and watch this year if it comes down to it and go from there. But, yeah, if I had to pick any – and even the next couple we're going to talk about here, if I had to pick one to start from day one, I completely agree. Because when you talk about A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman trying to stop you, I literally just look good in camp and they're going to want to play you over those two guys. So I agree with you there. It could be very interesting and see that rocket of an arm out there in Buffalo. All right, let's talk about the last of the four early first-round picks, Josh Rosen going to Arizona. And out of all the top four picks, many liked him the best, but also he goes to a situation where with Sam Bradford starting, we know Bradford can control a game and keep a team in it, and they need to win now because a lot of their guys are getting older. I could see him having the hardest time getting on the field. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Rosen has that college pedigree that you would want to see. He slid a little bit in the draft, so that's a little bit concerning. But with that said, like, he's definitely the future for Arizona at the quarterback position. I think he'll be useful at some point. It's kind of difficult to project when that will happen because it's all based upon Sam Bradford's injury. Like, I'm a little lower on Rosen than most, I think, if only because I think a lot of people are treating a Bradford injury as a foregone conclusion. Like, it's kind of funny how, like, if you asked anybody, when do you think Sam Bradford will get hurt? It'll be like, you know, preseason game three or whatever, you know, it's like, they're not even looking to the regular season at this point. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, this is another one that I kind of want to stay away from, because even if Rosen gets in there, the Cardinals offensive line is not good. And that could, you know, spell trouble for a guy who was not very mobile in college. Like, that's another knock on Rosen, despite, you know, his perceived advantages in, like, processing speed and, you know, that kind of NFL offense readiness. Like, if you don't have time to throw, it doesn't matter. Like, he's going to get torn apart by opposing defenses behind that line once he gets in there. That's what I expect. And, I mean, that's another reason to maybe expect a Sam Bradford injury. Sure, I get it. But I don't know. I'm just not really interested in the Cardinals' weapons. Like, I'd much rather just hope that I can land David Johnson, and that's it. Like, that's the only real piece in that offense I want.
Gotcha. Not a problem at all. Let's talk about the last rookie quarterback. Who decided to watch the Hall of Fame game last night. Got to see him in action. I'll be honest, didn't watch a second of it. But Lamar Jackson, who the Ravens traded up to get the last pick in the first round to take to make him a first rounder. Many want him to play over the Mr. Elite Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco seems to not want to help out a lot with teaching Lamar Jackson. It's a very interesting dynamic there. And they've already come out saying they're going to run packages for Lamar. So what's your thoughts on him? Because he might be the soonest viable fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, I was watching the Hall of Fame game out of the corner of my eye while I was recording some other podcasts last night. And, I mean, Jackson definitely made some mistakes. His offensive line didn't do him a ton of help. Speaking of offensive line problems. But, again, he was running behind, like, you know, the second or third stringers most likely. Like, I wasn't really paying attention to who was on the field for him. But, anyway, like, I didn't have a ton of optimism for him at first. But then seeing these reports about how the Ravens are creating packages to get him involved alongside Joe Flacco, that's got me more intrigued about Lamar Jackson. And it's not necessarily that I want to see Jackson lined up in the backfield or in the slot or wherever as, you know, a complimentary piece. I just simply like the fact that Baltimore is showing a willingness to kind of change their offense to accommodate a talented player. Because if Flacco does continue to, you know, perform as like a replacement level player like he has the past few seasons, I can kind of trust that the Ravens are going to have the confidence to move forward with a complete offensive overhaul, you know, a philosophy shift that's going to incorporate Lamar Jackson and amplify his strengths, you know, not only as a runner, but as a passer. And I think the RG3 signing has a little bit to do with that. Like, we can read into that a little bit. It's like they have two quarterbacks on the roster that are completely different than Joe Flacco. And you know, again, just reading tea leaves here, like it seems like they know that their offense is going to have to change when Jackson gets in there. And the fact that they're already playing around with that makes me think that they're getting ready to get him in there and start playing. The real thing with all these rookies, you know, Jackson and all the other ones we talked about, is that practice time and game time are really so limited for quarterbacks that you can't really screw around for too long with them, like getting second team reps or third team reps. Like, you, if you want them to play like in a year, you kind of need to start prepping them for that a year ahead of time. And so I think that this, what's going on with the Ravens, is a really good indicator that Lamar Jackson is somebody that they view as the long-term answer, despite, you know, Flacco's Super Bowl ring, despite the fact that he started so many games in a row. Like, yeah, Jackson's really fascinating. I was low on him at first, but I'm definitely coming around. Like, I think that of these rookies, like, if you're set at the QB position, like in a two QB league, and like maybe you have three guys already and you want to take a QB4, like I would definitely take Jackson for the upside over any of these other rookie quarterbacks. And I don't think it's close.
No, I like that a lot. And you mentioned they're kind of game planning for him, and, you know, RG3's in there. They brought the coach in that used to coach Michael Vick, who knows how to run the offense. We got to remember also there's a certain last name of the head coach named Harbaugh, who has done this before with quarterbacks, yep, and athletic quarterbacks. So it wouldn't be a first. And I'm with you. When he was drafted, I'm thinking, okay, what are you doing? Flacco's got another year on his deal. What are you, like, blah, 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 blah. Didn't even register with me. And now the same thing, reports coming out. Much more intriguing. Like, literally one injury away, and Jackson's like a least a very usable quarterback, mostly. So I don't want to put a ranking on him, but very, very good-looking quarterback.
Yeah, totally.
All right, let's talk about some other QBs down the list here, and kind of hit on some of the bigger names and deeper ones. Drew Brees, who is as consistent as they come year after year, still going to be throwing it around and doing great. Currently the seventh quarterback off the board. Like we said earlier, I'd have him ahead of Wentz and some others. What's your thoughts on Drew Brees?
Yeah, I mean, he was the king of consistency until he wasn't last year. But even in 2017, he was still hyper-efficient. And coming into 2018, we really shouldn't expect the Saints to score as many rushing touchdowns as they did, especially with Mark Ingram suspended for the first few games of the season. Their receiver group has gotten better. They added Cameron Meredith. And believe it or not, Ben Watson is actually an upgrade for them at tight end. I think I'm with you. I think Brees is poised for a bounce back, potentially up to top five status. And he's regularly available later than that. Like, I would also draft him ahead of Wentz, ahead of Watson. I mean, even if Brees doesn't hit the top five, he's pretty much guaranteed for like a top 10 finish just based upon who he is, what that offense does, and, you know, the weapons around him. Like, I'm all in on Brees too. He's a guy who I am a little bit more willing to pay up for, if only because he's sliding behind guys in drafts that I have ranked lower. And when that starts to happen, that's when I want to pounce on my QBs.
Yeah, I think he's a very good Gallup definitely brings that floor. That'll make a guy. He's running back 1.5 in Carolina, and he's a very, very talented running back. We're talking Cam Newton. He's going ahead of Breeze, actually, right now, 6 QB off the board. What's your thoughts on Cam?
Yeah, I'm with that, actually. I have Cam one spot ahead of Breeze in my rankings. I think somehow he's still undervalued. He's, you know, as consistent a producer as any quarterback. I've already mentioned how he tied with Russell Wilson for the most top 20 fantasy weeks over the past 4 years. 48 total, 12 per season. 84.2% of his games end up in the top 20. So super consistent, like in a 2 QB league, like you want that player. He ranks fifth in that span for top 10 finishes as well. So the ceiling is there. 25 top 10 finishes in that span, almost 44% of his games. That's behind only Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. So again, like he's a ceiling play on top of having the floor, which is pretty awesome. And like Brees, he's one of those guys who's regularly sliding behind Watson and Wentz. And whenever that happens, like I'm looking to maybe draft my QBs a little earlier than normal, because that's value. That's the definition of value. Like if I think that a guy is ranked higher than people who have been drafted before, it's time to get on it and draft a QB.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. Cam, I was so happy last year. I got Cam as like my backup to someone else in the 10th or 11th round because people were so worried about his injury and all that. And that was a blessing in disguise, but not going to happen this year, unfortunately. Let's talk Patrick Mahomes replacing Alex Smith in Kansas City, the second year QB. Many have high hopes for. Heard some Andy Reid clips yesterday, and he's very, very pumped on Patrick Mahomes. What's your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes?
So this is where, like, Alex Smith was Mufasa who died, right? And now we're going to hold up Pat Mahomes. Rafiki's got him up on the ledge. You hear the music in the background. Like, and people are that excited about Patrick Mahomes. It's happening. And we can kind of read into those tea leaves with Smith's departure. Like, Kansas City wanted to move forward with Mahomes. So we shouldn't assume that he's going to be worse than Alex Smith just because he's a second-year player. On the other hand, like, I really don't expect Mahomes to attempt the same number of passes that Smith did last year. Since 2010, the average second-year quarterback with at least 10 starts only passed about 460 times for about 3,200 yards. And compare that to Smith last season, again, had over 4,000 yards on over 500 attempts. And if we look at the top 10 quarterbacks from last season, six of the top 10 passed for at least 3,900 yards on about 550 pass attempts. So expecting like a big jump up in volume from Mahomes to compete on that sort of level is a bit of a stretch for me. I think that, you know, a bad Chiefs defense should help Mahomes have more pass attempts like than the average second year quarterback. I just don't think he's going to get to the level that Smith was at last year. So the question is whether or not he can be efficient and smart enough with the football to translate all of the attempts that he does get into high-end fantasy production. And I think that that's a little bit concerning. Like, we've already seen a lot of reports out of camp saying he's throwing a ton of interceptions. And rightfully so, Andy Reid has responded saying, like, I don't care about that. It's just practice, which kudos to Andy Reid for, like, being candid about that not mattering. But I don't know. We still have to be a little bit more measured in how we perceive Mahomes. Like, we can't just assume he's going to be a breakout. Like, we tried to do that with Marcus Mariota last year. I don't think it's fair to put that sort of, you know, burden on a second-year player in terms of fantasy expectations. But the upside is definitely there. Like, he's the type of player who I think is going to have a bunch of really, like, high-scoring weeks and then, like, a handful of duds to go with it. And if we can figure out how to predict that week to week, that's going to be really huge for DFS. That's going to make him a really good best ball player. But in terms of like week to week seasonal leagues, that's where I think he might be a little frustrating. If you have to decide when to start him and when not to start him, you might have some weeks where he just throws three picks and only, you know, 180 yards and no TDs and you're just screwed. Like that might happen with him. And I think we have to keep that in mind when we're trying to assign like a value to him in drafts.
Let's have some fun with this. Would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or Jared Goff?
Oh, Mahomes, easy. Like, I'm out on Goff. Goff is a player I do not like.
What about Mahomes and Marcus Mariota?
In that case, I'll take Mariota. Like, I think the fact that he has more experience, the fact that we've seen him be an elite and efficient producer in previous seasons, like before 2017, like, Mariota is one of the guys I'm higher on than most. I like him a lot this season.
Yeah, I like the improved offense that they're supposed to have. They're in Tennessee, it should be pretty nice. What about Mahomes and Derek Carr?
That's close. Like, I'm not really a Derek Carr guy. I would still take Mahomes over him for the upside, and under the assumption that, like, as a good fantasy manager, I can pick the right spots to bench Mahomes. With that said, that's always easier said than done. You know, it's not that easy to play matchups in fantasy. We think it is. We want to say it is, but it isn't. And I will admit that I might be undervaluing Carr. He's one of the toughest evaluations for me, but I would still take Mahomes, mostly based upon the weapons around him and the fact that I trust Andy Reid.
Yeah, Carr is one of those that I just can't figure out. He was so good 2 years ago, really struggled last year. You know, all the reports about Jordy Nelson make you want to believe more in him to go with Cooper. It's a tough one. Yeah, like you said, a lot of the reports are going to be good right now. You want to focus more on the negative reports, but Carr's going to be one of those that might surprise some people this year at the same time. We shall see. Last one I want to compare him to, because this one is really interesting to me, because everyone loves the new offense in Chicago, Mahomes or Trubisky.
Yeah, I'll take Mahomes still. I don't know really how to differentiate, because, like, we're kind of looking at the same things here with both players, like expecting a big uptick. I mean, with Mahomes, we don't have the track record. At least with Trubisky, we got to see him a little bit last year, albeit in a John Fox offense. Again, I kind of bring it back to the weapons, that's not really fair of me to do, I suppose, because the Bears have really improved their offense. Like, they brought in Allen Robinson and Trey Burton. But in general, like, receivers that change teams in the offense or in the offseason don't tend to perform that well in year one. And so I do have those concerns about Robinson and also about, you know, Trey Burton to some extent. I just think that Mahomes is a better QB prospect than Trubisky, despite the draft capital discrepancy between the two. And so with that in mind, like, I'm just going to go on the guy I think is more talented. And I think that's Mahomes.
Okay. Let's move on to a couple of veterans that are floor guys that I absolutely love, and every now and then have those big weeks, especially one of them out of Pittsburgh. Talking Big Ben, who's going 12th QB off the board, and then Phillip Rivers, the 16th QB off the board. Two of the more consistent year-after-year fantasy quarterbacks you have out there. What are your thoughts on those two veterans?
Yeah, I really like this comparison, because while they're kind of in the same range, and we kind of regard them in the same way in terms of fantasy, they're pretty different players. Like, I've been ending up with Roethlisberger a lot, mostly because I think people are just bored of drafting him and they just don't like him, the personality of Ben Roethlisberger. But he's one of the best ceiling producers available kind of outside the top tier of quarterbacks. Over the past three seasons since 2015, 50% of his weeks have been top 10. That's behind only Rodgers, Luck, Brady, and Wilson of the QBs who played all those seasons. Like, Deshaun Watson did it last year, but again, small sample size alert. And that makes sense, right? We know that Roethlisberger has exaggerated home road splits. He has some of the best offensive weapons in football at his disposal. Like, he's going to give you those big spike weeks, and I love that as a fantasy owner. Rivers is kind of the opposite. Like, people are tired of drafting him too, like they are with Big Ben. But, you know, generally, Rivers doesn't have that same ceiling, or he hasn't shown it, at least over the past few seasons. He's a steady compiler with a safe floor. But he doesn't pop with those big weeks often enough for me to be, like, excited to draft him. So I'm usually ending up with Roethlisberger or Matt Ryan or Matthew Stafford kind of ahead of Rivers. And, you know, that generally means that I'm going to miss out on Rivers, because if I'm taking those other guys, by the time it gets back to me, you know, the way QB runs work in two quarterback drafts, Rivers is going to get scooped up there in the shuffle if he hasn't gone already, right? But, yeah, kind of to illustrate that lack of ceiling again, over the past three seasons, Rivers' rate of top 10 weekly finishes is only 33.3%, so a third of his games. That's less than Alex Smith, less than Josh McCown, Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, Dak Prescott, and not to mention all the other, like, more prolific passers that are out there. So in terms of, like, that high-end upside, Rivers hasn't shown it recently, and that is worrisome to me. Now, as a QB2, especially if I have, like, a more volatile guy like Roethlisberger as my QB1 or Deshaun Watson, then maybe I want that steady producer of Rivers. But again, he's not a guy I'm ending up with, because I tend to shade more towards the ceiling plays.
No, that makes total sense. That's the part I love about Phil, is the consistency, just that floor, which is great. But yeah, if you want the boom kind of guy, he's not your guy at all. He'll do it like twice a year when Keenan Allen goes for like 250 yards. That's about all you're going to get out of him. You mentioned Matt Ryan there. I know he's not on the outline, but I'm curious, because he had a down year last year in his first year in the Sarkisian offense, and people are saying, you know, big bounce back coming, drafted a big-time rookie wide receiver to go with Julio Jones. Jones just got a new little deal put in place that should make him a little. I wouldn't back more towards that season.
Sorry, you broke up there. Can you say that again?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. What's your thoughts on Matt Ryan? Because, you know, he's got his second year out of the Sarkisian offense, got a new wide receiver in Ridley to go with Julio. Do we get to see more of the 2016 Ryan, or is it going to be 2017?
Yeah, I think 2016 is a more fair expectation. Like, I don't know if he's going to go up to those heights again necessarily, but you have to like the fact that they've added more pieces on the offense, and you have to like just the continuity, right? We don't necessarily know if we like Steve Sarkisian's offense, but just having another year in that system, like more time to adapt to it, more time to kind of let Sarkisian get his feet under himself. Like, I think there's reason for optimism with Matt Ryan. And like Rivers, like Roethlisberger, we kind of know what to expect at a base level, like at his floor, like Matt Ryan, we know what we're going to get. And that predictability matters to me. Like, I look for that from my fantasy quarterbacks. So, yeah, he's a guy who I'm ending up with a fair amount. I tend to draft Roethlisberger and Stafford ahead of him and among, you know, the higher picks too. But, like, I don't know. When I miss out on those guys, Ryan is a fine constellation. I think that he could very well outperform either of those dudes.
No, I like that a lot. And Stafford's another guy I really do like. And I think he gets overlooked quite a bit. And kind of the people, they start with like the big boys and they kind of overlook him to go to the Roethlisbergers of the world. So I do like some Stafford quite a bit. Let's talk about the fun one. By us, he's coming out of New England. Everyone's in love with him. Jimmy G. What do we think with Jimmy G? Because in reality, he won games, but he wasn't the best fantasy quarterback last year.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about what he did in that small sample size last year. Like, again, like I'm fading Deshaun Watson because last year wasn't enough evidence for me to feel like I got a good, you know, feel for him. Garoppolo's kind of the same way. Like, he didn't throw a whole lot of touchdown passes, but that stuff can always revert to the mean, right? We can always see some regression in that way. And I like him. I like the look of the 49ers offense. My problem with Garoppolo is just the price. Like, QB9 and ADP is overly optimistic. I just can't justify paying that price ahead of more proven passers like Roethlisberger, Stafford, Ryan. Andrew Luck is often going behind Garoppolo, even Marcus Mariota, who we talked about. Like, Garoppolo just doesn't have that track record yet for me to be comfortable taking him over those guys. I mean, the real lesson we should take away from all that, all this analysis, like all the different quarterbacks we talked about, especially in these middle tiers, is that the guys are really close. Like, we don't have to worry too much about trying to differentiate. We just wait for the other people in our drafts to pick them and make the decisions for us. And in a two quarterback league, that's harder because you have to, you know, kind of play around the runs and anticipate the runs to some extent and get out in front of them. But in a one quarterback league, you really don't have to draft one. Like, I mean, and I mean that like literally, like, you do not have to draft a quarterback. Like, you could just draft only running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. And then, you know, before week one, just go to the waiver wire, drop your worst, you know, bench guy to pick up a QB. Like, that's, it's as simple as that. Now, will I do that in every one quarterback league? No. Like, I'm still going to try to find value at the position if I can, but these guys are all super close and we don't really have to worry about differentiating between them other than when it comes to price. And when we see Garoppolo going that high, it's too high relative to these other guys. And we know to avoid him. It's as simple as that.
You mentioned how they're so close, and I agree. It's almost like once you get to, say, tier three, there's going to be like 10 or so of these quarterbacks where literally you can wait till like there's two left and then it'll grab one if you want to. If, you know, without giving away all your rankings, what's kind of the last man standing, which you'd like to pick if you are guaranteeing you're leaving your draft with a quarterback?
Yeah. So one quarterback, like, I want to try to get somebody from like the top 20, like the top 18, which again means that I can basically wait as long as I want and end up with somebody like Mahomes, like Dak Prescott, like even Jameis Winston. And while Winston isn't going to start the year as the number one guy there, I mean, he's going to be suspended. Like, because there are no buys in the first few weeks, it's really easy to replace him in a one QB league. In a two quarterback league, like, the lowest I'm willing to wait for my QB one is probably like that Mariota Rivers area, you know, after, you know, Stafford, Roethlisberger, and Ryan are gone. Like, I want my QB one to be like kind of in that range. And if I wait that long on my QB one, I'm probably going to take my QB two really soon after that, probably with the next pick. Yeah, I mean, but in terms of like guys that I'd be okay starting, like, if we really want to scrape the bottom of the barrel, I think you can go all the way down to my QB 27 at Ryan Tannehill. Like in a two quarterback league, if he's your if he's your QB three, like I think that's fine. Like if he's your QB two, you're in trouble, but you can still get by with that because his job is secure. Like there's nobody on that depth chart that's going to push Ryan Tannehill for time. I'm curious to hear your take on him as a Dolphins fan because we haven't seen him in so long, and he used to have some rushing upside. Like we know that he's had these leg injuries now, and that could sap that away. I mean, he is startable though, right? Like in DFS, maybe streaming during the season, like we can use Tannehill in select matchups. We're not going to go over the moon for him, but he's fine, right?
He's definitely fine, and he's a streamable DFS option. I completely agree with you there because they are going to throw him in that offense. Gase likes to throw the ball, the quick kind of routes, like you saw with Cutler in Chicago. They are going to try to pound the rock a lot with Kenyon Drake and company, but there's a lot of dump offs to running backs as well. I think the big question will be is how mobile is he going to be? All reports, again, are good. You know, the knee's great. He's reacting well. He's taking hits. He's suited up on day one. All the things you want to hear. But until I see a game action where, you know, a 290-pound defensive end comes around the corner and trucks him and then he gets right back up, then I'll feel a little better about life.
Yeah.
But he's definitely a guy, like, we've seen games out of him that are great. And these matchups will be really interesting. So I do like him as a guy you can definitely stream, yes.
Yeah, and I think ultimately what you should really look for from a streamer, like if you're going to be that barrel scraper in your league, is look at that early season schedule. And I don't know it off the top of my head for Tannehill or basically anybody yet. I haven't gotten to that point in my drafting season to where I need to worry about it. But in a one quarterback league, if you're looking to stream, like look for good matchups in the early weeks because that's all you're looking for when you're streaming is you want a good matchup that's going to be harder to know than – again, like it's harder to know that than we might expect. Like it's harder to play matchups than we might think, but we can still make informed decisions. We can still kind of read the tea leaves to know which defenses are going to be worse than others, at least to start the year. We won't always be right, but again, like that's just the nature of streaming in the first place.
Exactly. A couple more guys I want to ask about. Dak Prescott, you know, had a really good early campaign around the NFL, and now he's lost a lot of his weapons, and the receiving core is very interesting looking. And he's got Dak, who's supposed to do more in the passing game. Some are starting to jump back on the Dak wagon. Some just want nothing to do with him. What are you thinking about Dak?
Yeah, he was one of the tougher evaluations for me this season too. For some reason, like I thought back to his 2017, and I remembered him being really bad. And when I went back and looked at the stats a little more carefully, I realized he was actually decent. Like he wasn't that bad. There was just more recency bias because he kind of floundered at the end of the season, right? And that's stuff that we need to try to avoid as fantasy owners. Like we need to look at the whole body of work and we need to project forward based upon new circumstances. Now, the new circumstances there, as you've noted, are not great. Like the receiving core is not full of names that we're super excited about, like Michael Gallup, Allen Hurns. But with that said, Dak does provide that rushing production, which, you know, cements like a really solid floor for him. Like, I think it's really going to be like the Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott show in Dallas. And it kind of doesn't matter who he's throwing to. I think they're just going to have to spread it out. Like, he's going to have to throw some to Gallup, some to Cole Beasley, some to Allen Hurns, some to whoever their tight end ends up being, and a lot to Zeke out of the backfield. And while I don't think you're necessarily going to want his receivers, you might still be okay with him because if he puts up, you know, 240 yards per game with one passing touchdown and 40 rushing yards, like those 40 rushing yards equate to a passing touchdown, right? And with that in mind, I think that he's like kind of an undervalued player. He's kind of a safe or predictable player, like we talked about earlier. I have him ranked at QB 17, kind of in that same range as Mahomes and Jameis Winston and Alex Smith. Like, I think that he's fine. I'm just not super excited about him, because the ceiling isn't really going to be there unless he goes really, you know, nuts with the rushing production. And that could happen based upon his weapons, but I'm not going to bank on that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense there. All right, before we wrap it up, I want to give you the floor. Talk to us about your big QB, like, higher than most.
The big quarterback I like higher than most?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the floor because there's one you really, really like.
Yeah, I mean, it's Andrew Luck. I've been on this wagon since like I first released rankings back in March or whatever. Like I just kind of assumed based upon the fact that he missed all of last year that starting in week one was kind of guaranteed, right? Like he's had all this time to get healthy, and we know who Andrew Luck is, right? Like, I'm not too concerned about, you know, how he's going to hold up now because he's had all this time to get healthy. If we look at his ceiling compared to other players, like, he's posted better marks than points per game, top 10 finish rate, top 20 finish rate, and average weekly finish than Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, Newton, and every other quarterback with a significant sample size since 2014. So the ceiling is there. We know he's an elite producer. T.Y. Hilton is still there. Yeah, there are some concerns about like the secondary and third receivers on that team, but Andrew Luck is good enough to make that work. Like, he's on that Brady level to where he can, you know, make lemonade out of lemons. And I don't think that him sliding outside the top six makes any sense. You know, the camp reports have all been super positive, and like you said, we have to take those with a grain of salt. But when we know that the player is talented, we know the player is good. Like, I'm not really one who likes to buy too much into injury pessimism or injury optimism for that matter. Now, like, sustained injury problems, like we see with like Jordan Reed, especially like concussions, like that's a little different. But with Andrew Luck, like, I'm honestly just not that concerned. Like, I think he's going to be the week one starter. I think he's going to be healthy all year. I think we have to assume that. And with that in mind, like, he should be drafted in the top five or top six at the quarterback position. Like, he's my guy. I think that that's going to catch up too. Like, as more positive reports come out, as we see him in preseason, like, Luck is going to start to skyrocket up ADP. So if you're drafting early, like if you're doing best balls now, like, you should definitely be buying into him at his suppressed cost, because it's only going to go up as the season gets closer.
Yeah, I'm starting to jump on this train with you. I wasn't there at first, and we've talked about it before, and I wasn't there. But the more I see him get healthy, the more I see him throw footballs, the more I see him do things. If he is healthy, like they're saying, I agree completely. You have to believe he's going to be that guy he was before. So, love everything about it. Greg, this was a great time. Before we head on out of here, again, remind everybody where they can find you and what's got going on.
Yeah, find me on Twitter, at Greg Sauce. You can find my site, 2QBs.com, on there too. It's at 2QBs. And just like you would spell out the web address, you spell out the Twitter account the same way. It's all letters, T-W-O-Q-B-S. Come check out our 2018 draft guide for 2QB formats. Come check out all the articles we have there. Come check out the 2QB Experience podcast. I've got that cool series I was talking about coming up starting on Monday, August 6th. The first episode is going to have the guys from Player Profiler, Matt Kelly and Eric McClung. And then we're going to dive in with a bunch of other great guests after that, like Fantasy ADHD, Scott Fish, Jim Sonis, Brandon Gadula from Number Fire. I've got a bunch of other great guests kind of coming down the pipe that I can't really talk about yet because I haven't recorded with them yet, but that's scheduled for next week. And the series is going to be continuing. It's going to be great. Like, kind of like, this show has been basically about me and like what I think about the quarterback position. What I want this new series to do is kind of share other people's opinions about the quarterback position, so that one, you can see that there are different ways to approach it, right? If you're a listener and you're like looking for help with your leagues, and two, to hopefully find some commonalities, like find some guys that consistently from these different analysts are being tabbed as overrated, underrated, hard to evaluate. And hopefully we can kind of like come to some consensus stuff there and figure out like where there's discrepancy, so that, you know, you as the listener can say, oh, like, I don't have to think about it just this one way, because, you know, Greg told me to, like, I heard, you know, I heard Rich Rebar, or I heard Bubba say like something different about QBs, and I can take that instead. So fantasy is all about like kind of playing the game your own way. Like, there are a lot of different ways to win. And that's what this new series is supposed to do, is kind of show you that specifically like in how to approach the QB position. So I'm really excited about it. That's why I've been talking for, you know, the past minute and a half about it. So yeah, come check it out. I'm really stoked. I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
No, that sounds awesome. I like the idea because, yeah, there's a ton of different podcasts out there, but, you know, I'm only going to really do one QB podcast. You look at it, a lot of other podcasts, and they're like, okay, you're doing one on this position, so on and so forth. By getting all these different versions of it, you kind of get more of a consensus, like you said, which I think will be really, really good. So everybody go check out all his work. As you can tell, they do great work over there at 2QBs.com, and Greg does a lot of great work on the podcast. It's good stuff. So go check it all out, and Greg, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Bubba. This was a ton of fun, as expected.
Yeah, I appreciate it, everybody. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 111, talking some fantasy football. Catch you guys next time.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.